gonna switch it up for y'all a little bit.
Get crunk.
You know why? It's hurricane season.
The new Miami. The new Miami. The new Miami.
Welcome back to the Wide Ride Podcast. I'm Manny Navarro, Miami Hurricanes beat writer for The Athletic. We are previewing the game against Louisville Saturday. College game day is going to be there. 7:30 kickoff. 17th ranked Louisville, 18th ranked Miami. Of course, we know that both the Canes and Cardinals probably would not be ranked if the Big Ten was playing football right now. It'd probably be borderline to be in the top 25 poll, Mike Zimmerman. But nevertheless, college game day is going to be there. It's the biggest game of the weekend. And, you know, right now the Cardinals are favored by 1.5 to win the game. A lot of things happening, though, on the Coral Gables campus in terms of the Hurricanes and some roster moves and whatnot. You know, one change to the depth chart as far as the starter on the offensive line. Mike, what are your biggest questions heading into this week, or what's kind of on your mind?
Well, a few things that I kind of wanted to ask you was an injury update on Cam Harris. We saw him leave the game against UAB. It looked pretty bad, but he got up and was able to walk off the field on his own. So I just wanted to check his status, see if he's going to be healthy. And then we had some news. The secondary was already weak, and we had some news this past week, Christian Williams leaving the team. So how does that affect the secondary as well? I guess those are the two main things I'd like to hear from you.
Sure. Well, right off the bat, I mean, Cam Harris, I asked Manny Diaz on Monday during the Zoom conference how he was doing. He said he practiced over the weekend. Miami, of course, played last Thursday, so they have a couple extra days to prepare here for Louisville. And so they practiced over the weekend. Cam was out there. He says that he's fine. Didn't mention him on the injury report. Again, we know how coaches are. Sometimes they fib a little bit, right? But I'm going to trust Manny here and believe that Cam's out there and really going to play. Cam, by the way, after the game said he was fine, that he'd be okay. You know, it could have been just like sort of a bruised shin type deal. I know he got hit low with a helmet on his leg, and that's why he was kind of in some pain. And those type of things happen. As far as the transfer of Christian Williams, yes, I mean, obviously it hurts the depth. Christian was the fourth cornerback for Miami. I don't know the story behind his decision to leave. There's always rumors out there of, you know, players not getting along with coaches, but it's all speculation. You know, it hurts Miami. He was a four-star kid, former Alabama commitment, played 8 snaps against UAB. Don't know what happened from Monday to Tuesday. I can tell you Miami had him listed on the depth chart, second behind DJ Ivy at one of their cornerback spots. So they thought of him in good regard for, you know, as far as going into Monday. They had him on the depth chart. It wasn't like he had already told them, hey, I'm out of here. So I think it all sort of developed late in the week. And so now, you know, you're left with 5 scholarship cornerbacks, 2 freshmen, Marcus Clark, Isaiah Dunson. Those are the guys providing depth if anything happens to Al Blake Jr., DJ Ivy, or to Corey Couch. One thing I'll say, you know, Blake Baker wasn't happy with the cornerback play. He called it average. While it hurts to lose your fourth cornerback and you're scared about having to play 2 freshmen, I think Miami staff feels good that they can put 3 safeties on the field as well. Remember, you got Bubba Bolden, who is playing a whole lot. You've got Gervin Hall and Amari Carter. I mean, ultimately, you want to keep some of those guys fresh, and you're going to have a fourth corner out there. But I could see a situation, and you know, Baker talked about this before the season started, that they felt comfortable putting all 3 safeties out there, that those guys are good enough where they can be counted on in coverage. You also got Gilbert Frierson, who's a striker, who's played safety before. You know, you can rotate him out to safety and move one of the other safeties to corner if you need to. but you're right. I mean, any injuries to this group, you're a little worried.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been a known thing that the cornerback position has been thin, and that's just a big blow. You know, one thing before we kind of preview the Louisville game is kind of the wide receiver position. We didn't see a lot from them against UAB. I guess we had some high expectations, maybe not high, but we had more expectations going into the season, going into that UAB game than what we saw. And I know you had mentioned on the UAB preview pod that there will be some kinks that need to be worked out. And I think we saw that. But are you a little worried that guys like D. Wiggins, Mike Harley, Pope really didn't show us much against UAB? And are you worried?
Well, I mean, I think it's a concern. It's certainly a storyline to watch and follow. You know, going into the year, I think we all felt like offensive line and wide receiver were two areas where they had to really prove themselves. And you look at the offensive line, they played well enough where I think you have some confidence, at least in the starting unit, that, hey, they're not bad. Plus, you got De'Aaron King back there, who you can see his escapability, how fast he is. I think wide receiver remains sort of a question going into week two because you didn't see enough from them. You know, D. Wiggins had a heck of a catch down the sideline where he was able to kind of drag his foot. He showed you his ability. Mike Harley has been sort of Mr. Consistent in this offense since last year. He was one of the top returning receivers, but he's more of a possession guy than he is a breakaway guy. I know De'Aaron King tried to throw him a deep ball against UAB and they weren't able to connect, but you're right. I mean, I think that's sort of the big question mark going forward, where you still are sort of like, I don't know. Are these guys legit? And you didn't see a lot of freshmen out there in terms of true freshmen. They didn't play much at all in this game other than special teams. You did have, one wide receiver, Michael Redding, who I think played 12 snaps, was out in pass situations. But beyond that, it really wasn't – you didn't see Xavier Restrepo. You didn't see any of the guys that they were hyping up in the preseason, Keyshawn Smith, DeZaylen Worsham, all of those guys – didn't really get involved at all. And so, Rhett Lashley said this week, it remains a work in progress. He expects the timing to get better. And eventually you're going to see some of those freshmen get out there. But I think for right now, they want to see the main guys, the guys that came back that are returning experienced players, have a better week. Mark Pope, I think, was only targeted once. So, you know, you kind of have to set up some situations where he's the guy going deep and getting open down the field. It'll be interesting. This Louisville defense, they torched them last year. Jaren Williams threw an ACC record 6 touchdown passes against them. So those guys, I'm sure, want to have a little bit of revenge against Miami, you know? So it'll be an interesting matchup this week. And we're actually going to speak to Cameron Teague Robinson, who covers the Cardinals, here in a minute, to preview the game. But to answer your question, Mike Zimmerman, no doubt, receivers the biggest question going into week two on the offensive side of the football. Thanks for listening to Wide Right. We'll get back to more of it after this break.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Yeah, another question that I had was at the end of the first half against UAB, right? Miami was set up in borderline field goal range. It would have been about a 57-yard field goal attempt with 2 or 3 seconds left. Why didn't Manny Diaz decide to just attempt the field goal? They decided to, you know, just, I guess, try for the Hail Mary, but De'Aaron King kind of scrambled and almost got there, to be fair. But, wouldn't you have thought the field goal attempt would have been the safer decision, considering Borgalis can hit those?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody was sort of expecting that. You're up 14-7. You can go up 10. Why not try the kick at that point? But I guess Manny Diaz said, look, he's got confidence in Borgalis to make that kick. But at 14-7, he felt the risk of a long field goal with a potential block and a return was just not something he wanted to do. He didn't want to risk it. So I think ultimately it was an interesting decision. It was kind of telling also. As much as you like De'Aaron King and his ability to throw the deep ball there, I think the fact Manny was apprehensive to bring out, his field goal unit in fear of it getting blocked maybe speaks more to his fear of his offensive line or his special teams unit maybe still not being where they need to be. Remember, as good as the offensive line played in this game, You didn't see a whole lot of, you know, the younger guys play in that game. And I think, you know, those are the guys that you usually see in on special teams for field goals, et cetera. You know, you still have some of the offensive linemen, regular starters out, but you bring in a few extra guys to line up and obviously protect for the kick. And I'm wondering how much confidence Manny has in those guys to get the job done the right way. I wonder if there's sort of this feeling of, hey, I don't have too much confidence in those guys. And that goes back to, you know, losing two offensive linemen who decided to opt out the season, and Kyle Leon Herbert and Zalante Hillary. Both of those guys were on the special teams unit last year, were in on kicks, on field goals, etc. So maybe it's just you don't feel that confidence in some of the younger linemen yet to go out there and attempt a kick like that, because the kicker does have to have a lower trajectory to make a you know, a 57-yarder. And so, you know, you need sort of excellent blocking on a kick like that. All right, well, Mike, we're done with your questions. We're going to move on now to Cameron Robinson-Teague, who is nice enough to join us to talk about Saturday's game. So before we get to Cameron Teague Robinson, let's listen to this advertisement about Liquid IV.
Hi, I'm Andy Staples with The Athletic. No matter what fitness fad you follow, one thing is true across every one of them. You have to get hydrated and stay hydrated. The best way to do that is Liquid IV. It is the most efficient way to get and stay hydrated, because each serving helps you get as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. Why is that? It's the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium delivered into your bloodstream. I live in a place where it is scorching hot, very humid, lose a lot of water when I go out running. I drink a Liquid IV beforehand. I drink a Liquid IV when I get back. It feels great. Partial to the acai berry before, lemon lime on the way back. I'm not sure exactly why it works out that way, but those are my favorites. Also, if you've celebrated a little bit, it doesn't have to be a workout thing. Maybe I had a neighbor who was testing out smoked old fashions, and maybe I had a few. Maybe I had one too many. When I got home, I drank a Liquid IV right before bed. I felt fantastic in the morning. So how do you get yourself some Liquid IV? You go to liquidiv.com and you use the code ATHLETIC at checkout, and you get 25% off anything you order. That is 25% off anything you order when you use the promo code ATHLETIC at liquidiv.com. So get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code ATHLETIC.
All right, so now we're going to reach out to Cameron Teague Robinson, who covers Louisville football for the Louisville Courier-Journal. Cam, thanks for jumping on with us and previewing Saturday's game.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me.
Hey, man. So Louisville starts the season 1-0. Looked like an impressive win to me. I mean, Western Kentucky's traditionally been a pretty good team, 35-21. Miami, of course, opens up with a win. When you look at this game, what's the first thing that jumps out to you?
I mean, for me, it's Mikael Cunningham versus De'Arik King. I mean, I think you have two of the best quarterbacks in the ACC, two very dynamic quarterbacks who can beat you with their arm or their legs. I mean, I'm really excited to see both of them play. I think for Louisville, you got to find a way to slow down De'Arik King. I'm not sure how you do that. It's a lot easier for me to say it on here than it is to do it in real life. But I think that's where it starts for them.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look back at last year's game in South Florida, and remember, this game wasn't even supposed to take place this year. Miami and Louisville weren't supposed to be playing each other. But when you look at last year's game, Miami took it to Louisville pretty well at Hard Rock Stadium, 52-27. And, you know, Jaren Williams set a record for touchdown passes. All I remember is guys just tearing up this Louisville secondary. I want to start with Louisville's defense, because Manny Diaz said, you know, he feels like they're vastly improved, especially because they finally have some consistency at the defensive coordinator spot. Can you talk about the ways Louisville's defense has gotten better in your eyes?
Yeah. I think number one, like Manny said, is they finally have a defense coordinator back for the second straight year for the first time in 5 years. I mean, literally nobody on this defense has had a defensive coordinator more than one defensive coordinator for more than 1 year. I mean, they've been brand new every year. So that's big for them. They've added some depth in the secondary. Liberty transfer they got late. Kytrell Clark is a big, big, big addition for them, because now they have four legitimate corners with legitimate college experience. And I know that Brian Brown, the defensive coordinator, loves that. Linebacking core is big for them. They bring back everybody pretty much. Rajay Burns, everybody that played in that Miami game is back. Dorian Etheridge, Monty Montgomery, CJ Avery, Yusuf Abdullah. I mean, Nickel Keep, like, they're just loaded there. And they were very impressive Saturday. That was their biggest strength. So I think they're better in terms of experience. Those guys really know the defense a little bit more, and I think they're a little deeper than they were last year. I mean, like you said, those corners were getting toasted by Miami. I remember at one point, whoever, I don't remember who scored the big touchdown, but I just remember Marlon Carrick turning around trying to figure out where the safety was because no one knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And they gave up a lot of big plays last year, and their plus on Saturday was that they didn't do that. So I just think they know where each other are going to be a little bit better now than they did last year.
Yeah, it was D. Wiggins who I think had the big touchdown catch down the middle of the field. Miami's receivers just had a field day. Of course, Jaren Williams isn't around anymore, and you got a different quarterback and De'Aaron King, who had a little bit of trouble connecting with the deep ball in the opener. But obviously, it's just lightning quick. I'm curious with Louisville's defense. I mean, obviously, you know, this option, fast-paced tempo offense, it's not like other teams don't run it in college football, but what have they been talking about as far as, you know, Miami's offense and how different it looks? You know, what have they sort of been talking about this week over in Louisville about that?
Yes. So the defense coordinator, Brian Brown, speak today. But Scott Satterfield spoke Monday and was saying that it's a completely different team than it was last year because of De'Aaron King. He's so dynamic that Miami can run legitimate QB runs for him. And then even when they don't, the play can break down and he can find space to make a play. It puts your defenses in a bind. Louisville struggled with containing running quarterbacks last year. They contained Tyler Pick-Rome a little decently on Saturday, but he's not De'Aaron King in any sense of the word. So it'll be tough. I think they're going to really lean on their linebackers, their experienced linebackers, to kind of keep De'Aaron in check on Saturday.
Of course, you mentioned Mikael Cunningham and the offense. I did a big sort of breakdown for The Athletic, just looking at Louisville's offense. You cover them every single day. You know, the one thing about Cunningham last year, you go back to that first half, he made a pretty bad mistake throwing a pick in the end zone. I thought that really, you know, helped Miami open the door. He only threw 5 interceptions, I think, all of last year. Did he throw one this past weekend against Western Kentucky?
Yeah, it was like triple tipped by 3 Western defensive backs.
I wanted to ask you, how is he – I mean, I know it's only one game, but what did you see from him that makes you think that he's getting better as a quarterback?
Yeah, he's just more confident. I think he's a little more calm in the pocket. And I think you notice it when, like, I think times last year he would run just because he would get antsy. Like, he didn't really need to be. Mm-hmm. Yet Saturday, he didn't really run that much. He ran for a touchdown because the pocket completely collapsed on him and he had to get out. But unless it was an option or a QB rollout, he stayed in the pocket and delivered the ball, which is a good sign for Louisville. I mean, he had a 70-yard pass when he was throwing out of the end zone, standing in the pocket. That's not something he would have done last year.
Yeah.
He would have tried to run and scramble. So he's gotten a lot better. He had a few balls sail on him. He probably should have thrown another pick that Des Patrick bailed him out on. That ended up being a touchdown. But he looks a lot more confident and calm in the pocket this year.
Of course, Javian Hawkins is back. That powerful running game that I thought was really the bread and butter, you know, that outside zone. Any wrinkles from Satterfield with it, you know, as far as what he's doing differently, or did it look pretty much, you know, like last year's offense in terms of the way they ran the ball?
Yeah, it looked like last year's offense. They added some 4 wide receiver sets because I think they're a little deeper receiver this year than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
Braden Smith was a guy who's a JUCO transfer who did like 110 receiving yards in his first game, which was a big deal for him. Which allows them to now branch out and they can use Tutu Atwell in different ways and they can use Des Patrick in different ways. But in terms of the run game, I think it looked pretty similar. They're going to pound the offensive zone, go inside. They're just going to try to find the little holes. And it doesn't take much for Javian Hawkins and Hassan Hall to break something. So that's kind of what they're going to do. They struggled early because the offensive line was kind of catching his footing. But once they got going towards that second quarter, they played pretty well.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tutu Atwell, who burned Miami on an 80-yard touchdown catch and run where it was kind of running, you know, over the middle and the defense got confused in coverage. I mean, they ran all kinds of plays for him last year. So Miami knows Tutu well. He's obviously from their backyard at Miami Northwestern. Has he spoken to you guys at all this week? And I guess I got to imagine – you know, this Louisville team in general is looking for payback going into this game after what happened last year.
Yeah, we haven't talked to Tutu. But I mean, Tutu's Tutu. He's just, he's speed, man. Just so much. And against Western, it was anytime Louisville needed a first down on a third down throw, it was Tutu. And he was just always open. Whether it was a sweep or an out route or a slant or a cross, or he was just always open somewhere, which kept I was mind boggling that they just left an All American just sitting there all the time. But in terms of Louisville, I think it's less revenge against Miami and less redemption for the way they played. Mm-hmm. They know that was probably their worst game last season. Mm-hmm. And they just did. I mean, Satterfield even mentions on Monday that he doesn't even like thinking about it sometimes. I think they want redemption, and I think they got a chance with it in a top 20 matchup, college game day. They're looking forward to a chance to put that one behind them from last year.
It was a bad day for Louisville on a lot of fronts. That's the day, that, of course, that Becton got hurt, their first-round pick at left tackle, and you had Adonis Boone kind of have to be thrown into the fire there at left tackle. And, you know, Miami, I thought, had a pretty good day creating pressure on Cunningham and creating negative plays, even though they gave up, you know, close to 500 yards of offense. I thought, you know, they were disruptive. I look at the offensive line for Louisville now. You got a redshirt freshman in Renato Brown, who was a Miami commitment at one point. Louisville had a really good day running the ball to the right side of the offensive line behind Brown against Western Kentucky, but there were some mistakes on the left side. What do you think of this offensive line that they've got? Miami's obviously got two really good defensive ends in Quincy Roche and Jalen Phillips that everybody here is excited about. How do you foresee that matchup?
Yeah, I think – a lot of the mistakes that came from the left side also probably had to do with D'Angelo Malone from Western Kentucky, mm-hmm. who is a legitimate NFL defensive end, I think. I mean, he was just dominant for much of that game. Very disruptive in the run game. Got after Mikael Cunningham in the pass game. It's not going to get easier, like you said, with Miami's ends. But I think they did get better as the day went on. Like you said, I thought Renato played really well on the right side. Mm-hmm. They looked really, really well there. I think, but they're also going to add in Cameron DeGeorge, who's a UConn transfer. Mm-hmm. He'll play. He played both guard positions on Saturday and tackle. So he'll play a lot as well. So they have a little bit of depth, but I think it helps when you play such a talented player in D'Angelo Malone, when you have to back it up again and play another talented player in, whether it's Quincy or any of the other defensive linemen from Miami.
So what's your prediction? We got to get a score prediction from you before we let you go, man. I know you're probably going to save it for print at some point. We won't tell people that there's a prediction on my podcast, if that's the safe way to do it. Do you have one? Is there anything you could share?
Yeah, no, I had one. So before, like, the week of the season, I did I did game by game predictions, and I picked Miami to beat Louisville, and I will stick with that for now. I think I had it third, and I know Miami didn't give up 30 points a lot last year, but this is just me thinking of Louisville's offense improved. Mm-hmm. I think it was like 34-30, just because I have to see Louisville contain De'Aaron King before I can believe that they can contain De'Aaron King. They struggled containing running quarterbacks last year, and I just don't know how they do that. And I also think of, how do you stop the combination of De'Aaron and Brevin Jordan? Because if you load the box and stop the run game, it's going to be tough to contain Brevin Jordan as well. So I got to see that before I can commit to it. But I picked Miami to win. But I think it's going to be close, and I think there will be a lot of points on the board.
I agree with you. I'm going to go 34-31 Miami. I think, you know, this running game, it's different, a lot more speed than what they faced last week with UAB. And I think ultimately the fact that Miami has a kicker, finally, which they didn't even have last year, cost them so much.
Yeah.
Jose Borgales, I think he's going to come up huge. I think Miami wins this game with Jose Borgales' leg, but it's going to be a great game, I'm anticipating. What's the spread? 1.5 still, Louisville? Is that what it is?
Yeah, 1.5 or 2.
Yeah, I think we're in for a good football game on Saturday. And, you know, I do see Louisville having trouble stopping De'Aaron King. I think without De'Aaron King, I'm not sure Miami wins last week versus UAB. And I think certainly this week he's going to prove his value once again for this Miami offense. Cameron, you were great, man. Right. I appreciate you coming on and doing this with me.
Yeah, not a problem. Appreciate you guys having me, for sure.
All right, man. Take care. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of Wide Right. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Manny_Navarro. Also, be sure to sign up for The Athletic. It's only $1 a month right now. if you're a new subscriber. I mean, that's a great perk. We've also launched a whole new system in terms of sort of our own little Twitter network. You know, if you get in there, we have sort of this rapid news network where we share stuff and insights. So make sure you sign up. There's a lot of great college football coverage. The Big Ten just announced today that they're coming back next month. So, I mean, this football season is getting more interesting by the minute. We've got great national writers who are going to be covering it all. So make sure you sign up for theathletic.com.